Not ready? Too bad. Head back, face forward, and hold on like you mean it.
Hello and welcome to Review Time's Theme Park Cast. This is a fortnightly show where we discuss all the ins and outs loosely about attractions and parks from around the world. My name is Dom and I will be your host for another spectacular episode where we talk about one-star reviews of theme parks that we enjoy. This was recommended to us by a fan on X or Twitter, whatever it's called now. I don't care. They're called Remember When Studios Was Fun, @StudiosRemember, and they suggested one-star reviews of US parks and a series about Disneyland Paris in the vein of your Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo Disney Sea series. We're not ready to commit to something like that, which I'm going to change things up a little bit. Because sometimes when we do introductions, I'll say a joke and I'll be like, here's a pun about Luke. Now, I'm going to introduce Luke today. Luke, say hello. Luke Carroll,
hello.
Co-host of Review Time.
I'm here.
I need to make things serious today.
Oh, bring it down a
because yesterday was the birthday of a very big fan of the show.
The
very big
fan,
biggest fan of Review Time. They're always hitting us up in our DMs, sending us emails and all of that. And I just want to give a huge shout out to Michael Eisner.
Oh, happy birthday, Michael. Huge fan of the show. He wanted the cameo, the exclusive, birthday cameo from us, understandably. Yep. Happy 82nd birthday to Michael Eisner, big fan of the show.
82 years young. Still skateboarding, still doing cool stuff, walking around with backwards caps and wearing ears despite being an executive.
Executives don't wear ears.
We're getting nicher and nicher with our references. But it was actually Michael Eisner's birthday yesterday.
Not when this comes out, when we're recording it, though. This comes out like in a week and a bit. But now you know, behind the scenes magic, this isn't live. We're not streaming to your car right now, but we're actually recording on the 8th of March.
I'm recording this early. Well, so is Luke. We're both recording this early.
No, I'm just coming in after the fact. You're leaving gaps and I'm just like slotting. Ah, great. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the fall of Rome was a really intense topic. There was an episode of the Disney Dish like that, where literally just Jim Hill interjects bits every now and then.
But what, they were all pre-recorded?
Yeah, it was really difficult to listen to. Oh, love their enthusiasm. But it was not one of my favorite episodes. This week's is, and we won't say why, last week.
A special gift in the episode hidden somewhere.
So we are talking about our favorite one-star reviews, but you know where
this
we don't get one-star reviews?
This is a very old episode. Coming back. Because we did a one-star review episode eons in the past, which shows how true of a fan Remember When Studios Was Fun is. And he's also creating, in our honor, a Disneyland Australia and Planet Coaster. So go follow him on X
if you want
to follow along with that. Yeah, he tagged us. He tweeted at us a while ago about it.
That's really exciting. I'm going to go there in Planet Coaster and have a good time. But you know where else you can go? So I've tried to do the segue twice. Our Patreon.
Hey.
We have to give a quick shout out to our newest patron, Henry J, and longtime patrons, Jake Cole. Hi, Jake. Peter Matthews and Jet Law. Oh, another cool name.
Yeah.
Jet Law.
Even just, I don't know. J is also like Henry J. It's just the initial J. That's one of the coolest letters you can have. Luke C, meh. Dominic L, Henry J. I don't know what it is about J, but it hits well.
Henry J.
Yeah.
And we have actually got someone with a properly cool name, because it's Jake Cool.
Oh, hey, the coolest name of them all.
But for access to exclusive content, as well as every episode of our Adults Only Parks After Dark podcast, and as well if you want us to talk about your name for whatever reason, you can make it up. Just try and make up a cool name. You can find us at patreon.com/reviewtime. I will also preface this by saying that
This week I decided to make myself a beverage for this episode, and I think I went too hard.
So if it slowly descends into madness. Have you ever watched that How to Drink on YouTube? He'll occasionally film like multiple episodes in a day, and one of the challenges that the viewers do is try to piece together what episode that was. Was it the first filmed episode in a day, the second or the third? Just based on how smashed he is or isn't.
We have actually been meaning for a very long time, and this is probably something that we can do when I get back from going overseas, because I'm going again, because that's just what you do.
I'm sure you're going somewhere different compared to when you were overseas a month ago, right?
Nah.
Back these to two New trips. Zealand we go.
These were booked like a year apart, and my parents just one day were like, we're going to New Zealand, we're paying for you. And I'm like, oh, we already have a trip booked on a cruise. So, yeah, I'm currently on a cruise at the moment. I don't know where I am.
When this comes out, not when we're recording this.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean.
Imagine how much you would have to pay to record a podcast on cruise ship Wi-Fi prices.
Oh, my. And when it works, if you're somewhere like 1 mile off the standard trajectory, it's like, nah, sorry. Nah, I know you paid $50 for the Wi-Fi, but it doesn't work here. We had to divert for a storm. That actually happened to my entire family. They bought the Wi-Fi package, they diverted, and then no one could get on. They were just like, sorry.
Too bad. So sad. Did they leave a 1-star review on the cruise ship because of that?
They probably did, and that's a really good segue, Luke. Just not like the one of the...
But I do. Somebody asked what that reference was to us last week, and I thought we had told it so many times, but I think we've maybe told it fully once, but we've told it as a no, we're not talking about that again 70 times.
It's become a very funny bit of the podcast. So if anyone is confused as to why we always divert away from the said Segue joke, it's because the CEO, or like the owner of Segway, some very rich person, bought Segway, and then the way in which they died is they fell off a cliff on a Segway. Now, I've heard two stories. One of them is that they had like a new off-road model and they were like, yeah, Segway, the next extreme sport. And I'm going to ride it up to a cliff and then I'm going to like pull back really quickly. You know how like you lean forward and pull back and that changes the trajectory. And he was like, this can stop so quickly. And so he like drove up to the cliff, went to stop, and it just went straight over the edge. And everyone was like, ah. Oh. The other story I've heard is that he went off the cliff because he went off a path because of a dog.
Oh. Well, don't let the truth get in the way of a story and whatever that is.
I think the first one's a better story. They did die. They're dead. So
poor guy. Do you reckon that was the end of the segue? Because that was when they were brand new. That was, you know, this is it. Who needs legs anymore? Why walk when you can ride a Segway everywhere? And then it just died off. They were like, actually, these are kind of, I don't know, they just stopped being popular. They looked like they were going to be the future of transport, and then just they've died completely off.
I think I had that thing where everyone realized that they actually look pretty dumb. Yeah. And they also don't go that fast. Yeah. So it's like,
would you get like an extra 3 kilometers an hour to your average walking speed, but you look like a mega dork when you do it? It's not really worth it.
Look up pictures of people riding Segways and it all looks like they have broom shoved up their bums. Like, because you have to stand in such a way where you have to like lean forward. So everyone's like really uptight. And if you do any other way, you're just going to fall off. So it's like everyone just looks really unnatural. You're driving, don't look up pictures of Segways because you're driving.
Did you see they used to have like the Segway tour at Epcot?
They used to have Segway tours everywhere. That was around the time when Segways were like cool. They were all over Silicon Valley. They were all over other places. Were they all over Universal Islands of Adventure though?
I don't know.
Probably. Well, maybe we should.
That was the world's most advanced theme park when it opened in the 1990s.
That's true. That also means nothing these days. That's a marketing term that literally becomes redundant like a year after. Because you can be like, this is the most technologically advanced theme park. And it's like, what
but
does
that
mean?
The very second that it opens, and then somebody down the road is going to open something more technologically advanced.
I think we've also talked about this on the podcast before, but DC Rivals at Warner Brothers Movie World for the longest time was saying that it was the tallest, fastest, and most technologically advanced roller coaster in the world. Now, two of those can be argued very easily.
And are both wrong.
Yeah. One of them not so much. But I just, like, is that the feat that you want to be like, oh, you know, King Dakar who? No, DC Rivals because it's the most technologically advanced roller coaster in the world. Is that your selling point? Is that
and
what you
so,
go,
oh. Back to the drawing board, please. Yeah. Especially because it was and still is the tallest, fastest, and longest coaster in Australia.
Mm. That Which, sounds lame. Nah, you can't say that.
Boo, Australia. Bad for theme parks.
Look, technically, I could open up a roller coaster model in my backyard, and there is a good chance that that's the only and also the tallest and fastest in Australia.
Pretty much.
Like, if I opened up a boomerang, it'd probably be the only one within, like, an eight-hour drive.
But then you'd also have a boomerang in your backyard, so.
Yeah, it's not a very big backyard. I'll probably get in trouble from my neighbours.
But we're talking about one-star reviews.
Yeah.
Of some of our favorite theme parks or theme parks we enjoy. Theme parks we definitely would rate above a one-star at least.
Except for one of them. But you have to guess which one that is.
We actually gave it a zero-star.
Yeah, we don't actually not like any of them. We just put that in so that people, like, it's kind of like wait till the end on a TikTok. You know where TikTok says that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait till the end. You won't believe what happens. This is engagement, Luke.
Oh, keep it. Is it working?
That's what they...
Because we're 12 minutes in and haven't started the episode.
Oh, crap. Okay, go.
All right, one-star reviews as a quick little heads up. We're not trying to bully these people much.
No.
The internet is a weird place. And
if it was Parks After Dark, we would.
Yeah, I'm sure we've said dumb stuff too.
Mm.
There's plenty of our voices out there on the internet, but these aren't necessarily dumb. But let's start here. Universal Islands of Adventure has a 4.7 on Google reviews. So this
Which is
a
good,
high.
Really
this is,
good.
On par as the highest rated theme park in Orlando, which is understandable. I think it's my favorite theme park in Orlando. So
I believe Tokyo Disney Sea has a 4.6.
So this is better.
Yeah, 4.6.
Better
it's
than
rated
Disney
higher.
Sea. So here it is. Here's the review. Weather conditions made up, plus rude staff, plus technical issues. Yesterday and today, Islands of Adventure closed all the outdoor rides for more than 2 hours for weather conditions. And it was sunny and did not rain at all. There was also a lot of technical issues with Dudley's ride. It was saying 10-minute queue. And after 40 minutes, they announced technical issues and told us to leave if we didn't want to wait. They did not offer any stamp to the ones in the queue waiting for a long time to come back later. Popcorn buckets were also not available anywhere.
What? Stop right there.
Which kind of, these are kind of going, you know, in what they've clearly thought was their biggest complaint down to something that isn't that big of an issue. But when you've had a day that you think is going bad, everything is that big of an issue.
When your dad starts getting to that point where he's huffing and puffing and, like, the wind blows the wrong way and just sets him off over the edge. And it's like, no, Dad, you can't punch the staff member because of the wind.
Which, this one comes up a lot. This whole idea where it's like, well, it was sunny. Therefore, closing rides because of weather conditions is the biggest lie that ever existed. When, in actuality, you're in Florida. It storms every day. A lightning bolt doesn't have to hit the park for the park to go down because of weather. It only has to be within an 8 to 10 mile radius, depending on the park. And they use something called weather bug, which is an app that will show you the closest lightning. And as soon as one shows up in their radius that the theme park has set for guest safety, that's it. The ride's shut down. No two ways about it.
Mm.
But
it's interesting as well that a lot of these people will come to the parks and here they're saying, like, just very disrespectful and the entire experience around 4 hours missed in this entire mess of technical issues and weather conditions that they made up. Disappointed. Now, it's like, you're not the only person being affected by this.
Mm.
Like, that's something that I find is it's like they are taking it very personally that there were weather conditions.
Yeah.
And what they believe to not be the ideal weather conditions, they're like, oh, you know, they're big dumb idiots because it's bright sunny day and then you turn around, there's a giant cloud behind you.
Yeah.
I'm sure parks don't just close things because they can.
What do they think? Like, yeah, what do they actually think is the reason that a park or the is going to be like, I know a sneaky way to make more money by making people buy butterbeer? Close all of the rides so they have no choice but to buy butterbeer and just say it's for weather.
Do you know the best conditions? And Walt Disney actually studied this. You know how they say it's like, oh, you need to get someone 50 seconds after an attraction or you need to have a bin every 20 steps. If someone's miserable, if you close all of the rides and make it a terrible experience, they're actually more likely to buy your park shirts.
Yep, it's true.
Mm. That's why they do it. That's why they fake the weather. It's because they want you.
That's what you learn at the Disney Institute, actually.
Yeah, you told me.
Mm-hmm.
Walt Disney actually comes out and tells you that personally.
That's the finale, the traditions. It's not Mickey coming out. It's Walt going, and remember, if we're not selling enough t-shirts, say there's a weather closure.
It's just, it's one of these things. Like, we've been affected by it, and it does suck. It's awful when you're at a park and there's lightning nearby. Like, it can be 15 miles away and sometimes they'll close. I think it's like a 10-mile radius around the park.
Yeah.
And that's a long way away. But the thing is, if someone gets struck by lightning on a roller coaster, you don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
You might be upset that you're missing out on a ride, but you also don't want to be the person being struck by lightning.
Yeah. I think, interestingly, the second part of this review where they're talking about Dudley Do-Rights is actually something that happened to us as well. So it seems like it may be an issue with that ride. Do you remember? We were stuck for ages in that, weren't we?
It was a very long time. So we actually had Express Pass. We were given it by the park, which was really nice of them. But we were there on 4th of July, so it was very busy. I think the actual queue was like 90 minutes and the Express Pass queue was like 30. So we got into line in the Express Pass and it just stopped. It ground to a halt. And we're wondering what was going on. And eventually, like, it started moving, but I don't know whether that was because the ride started up again or whether because people were just dumping out of the queue. Eventually, after like 45 minutes, they announced that they were having technical difficulties and that's it. They didn't say whether the ride was down or anything like that. I will say on their part, like, that was really poor form on their behalf. Their communications when something goes wrong is really bad. Like, as soon as a technical difficulty arises, you let people know. And then if you do have to delay the attraction, you also let people know. And as well, like, it's completely fine to be like, hey, you can either wait around or you can go. But people can't make that decision unless they have that information available.
They have an option made to them, yeah.
Yeah.
But we
did experience this.
We did experience it. We didn't experience the missing popcorn bucket. The terrible...
Oh, I did.
Oh.
I punched a cast member because of it. Yeah, remember
he
that?
He refuses to go back. It's not worth it without that popcorn bucket.
I just started swinging.
You get hit, it's your own fault. But Islands of Adventure. I love Islands of Adventure.
What if we give each review our own review? Out of five.
A review of the review.
I don't know. What can be our ranking criteria? Should it be pettiness? Should it be like validity? Like if it's like, this one-star review, that's also, we give it 5 stars for just being awful. How do we want to approach this? This is my idea, handing it to you, giving you the responsibility to figure it out.
It's got to be a ranking system, a star ranking system. But is a 5-star review of a 1-star review saying that you're a big dumb idiot, or is a 1-star review saying that you're a big dumb idiot? We don't agree.
I reckon I reckon let's go. The lower the star, the, like, you know when you see, like, a huffing and puffing dad at a theme park, and it's like, maybe a one star can be they're just huffing and puffing, and a five star can be that they've just punched a child.
It's on the, so dad, this is the, like, dad scale.
The angry dad meter, I reckon this probably falls into, like, a two, because they've blamed acts of God.
And saying the park, it's all the park's fault.
Because, you know, actually, maybe a three, because they believe that they know more about the weather than the operational staff of the park.
Yeah, fair. Correct. Confirmed.
Okay, so that one star review got a three from Ruby Time. Congratulations. We also won't name and shame anyone. Yeah. Also, don't seek these out. Like, don't go and be like, ah, Review Time named and shamed you. This is just for fun. It's like everyone has bad days. We've all had bad days in parks, and maybe we've vented somewhere. But we're just immortalizing it in such a way that you don't have to go and seek these out yourself.
Exactly. Don't. But we have one more for oh, no, we have a couple of friends of Virgil. I just found this one that had a funny title. It's not that interesting. We don't need to talk about that long. It just says Skull Island Reign of Slong. Instead of Reign of Kong, they've written S-L-O-W-N-G, slow N-G, Skull Island, Reign of Slong. Awful experience at Skull Island Express. Nothing express about it, and very uncomfortable to wait in the line. Just expect to be stuck in a tunnel with a bunch of people with nothing else to do for a long time while being at the express line. Nothing express about it.
They love that line so much, they used it twice. It's kind of like that zinger where it's like no one hears, so it's like, oh.
Get it?
I'm going to say this twice.
Express? Get it? But it isn't express. It was slow.
I got a ghost rider myself. Tennessee Williams.
Get it? Oh, that's just the title. Reign of Slow. How would you even pronounce that word? I have a degree in English. I can't even pronounce that word. It doesn't make sense.
Don't ask me. I have a degree in IT. Does nothing for me. You know how quickly computers move? All this AI stuff. It's like my degree was redundant the moment OpenAI started.
You're just in a ticking clock of counting down till the end now for you, for in your other job.
Aren't we all? Welcome to the Existential Podcast. So the next one comes from Nick Wright.
He wrote an essay.
Wait. We're forgetting our own thing. What will we give that's that review?
That's a one. They thought they were being so witty, but you know they probably sat thinking about this. They knew they were going to write this bad review, and they probably thought about it for hours to come up with Skull Island Reign of Slow, and then nothing express about it, nothing express about it.
I can imagine this as well. They're like on the holiday, they're sitting in the hotel lobby, and they're like just like, honey, listen to this. Nothing express about it. Express line. And the partners just say like, go to bed. And they're like, no, it's so good. I'm going to use it twice.
Reign of Sloan, you get it?
It's like, yes, dear. Okay, dear. Write your review and then go to bed. A lot of these as well, it's always like one contribution. This person made a TripAdvisor account
just to write this.
Just for this.
So did the guy above,
There's one thumbs up. And you know, whenever we see it, it always happens for us on our videos where someone will leave like a nasty comment or they'll say something dumb. And we'll see, like we see when comments pop up on our phones or devices. So we'll check it immediately. The comment's 5 seconds old and it already has a like. And I'm like,
I wonder
your
who
own
that
comment.
Could be.
Just, you know, it's okay to just not like your own comment. Like, we like our own comments because YouTube forces us to for engagement.
But you can't do it. Only we may.
No. And we'll roast you if you do it. Especially if it's a Friday night and we're playing games together and we're like, oh, check out this comment. I'm still, though, not okay after the one who roasted me for not ironing my shirt.
Dom actually worn that shirt to wear any form of collared shirts now just because of that
no
guy.
No kidding. ever since I got that, I'll look at a lot of the shirts I have. And I used to wear like crumpled up shirts all the time. That was kind of my thing. I would just like throw them in, just wear them. And now I refuse to do it just because of that one comment. I gave them too much power, Luke.
They've changed your entire life.
You've changed my identity. My name is no longer Dom Lazy. I am Nicaragua Jova Snitch.
Oh, that's a Patreon quality name right there. We would compliment
Nicaragua
that person.
Nicaragua Joven Snitch.
Something.
That's true.
Forever.
Would you like me to read this next one?
Yeah.
Still about Islands of Adventure, but the last two are from TripAdvisor. This one comes from Google.
Google, yeah. This is where you write the essay. This guy has 23 reviews. He's a reviewed Meister General. I've written two reviews on Google, and they call me like a superstar reviewer, for the top reviewer in your area. And I'm like, I highly doubt that's true.
I'm one of the top reviewers in Australia. I review a lot of things. I'll just see if I can check on a glance as to how many I've done, but I think it's like close to the thousands.
I'm sure we've got one coming up for you down here, further down.
But I have a thing where it's like I will only review things that I like. I don't give one star
reviews.
That's
the opposite. Usually like reviews tend to trend lower than actual because people are more likely to leave a negative review than a positive one.
Because I'm trying to offset it. Yeah, everyone just leaves one star reviews. So I like if I go somewhere I like, I'll leave it there. So don't track down my reviews. There's lots of them. They're from some really weird places. Mostly McDonald's. I have that feature set up where it's like when I go to places, it'll be like, did you like this? I'm like, yeah, sure. Five stars, star friendly. It's most of them. That's about the extent of where they go. But this one comes 3 months ago. I'll start reading now. I don't see why Islands of Adventure exists in the form it does.
Ooh.
It should be a Jurassic Park Marvel mashup and then be done. Do you care about 100-year-old cartoons from the newspaper? Me either. Waste of space and literally anything else could be there. How about 20 Marvel stores with the same stuff in all of them for no reason? No thanks. Want 22 places to get an overpriced burger or something in an area that is just 90% hype without really anything to actually do or enjoy? Nah, not interested. Don't get me started yet on the Harry Potter portion that should be the connection from Diagon Alley. I think Universal has it set up this way so they get actual people to go to Islands of Adventure. Otherwise, it would die off. But I'll get to that in a minute. And it will be a minute because this is an essay. Yeah. Anyhow, the Jurassic Park stuff is cool if that's all there was. If you could just take five steps into the park, see dinosaurs, and pretend to research eggs, that would be great if you want that. But you have to walk through all this pointless stuff first. It's just... Why?
What did he
the
want?
The Velociraptor.
Just a dinosaur hatching part.
Oh, Main Street, USA. Oh, boring. You're boring. The Velociraptor ride is great if you like that kind of ride. And the Hulk too, but you are going to travel from wherever you're from for hundreds of thousands of dollars it costs, walk for literally miles and miles for those two rides. No, oh, you paid that double park price just to see the other Harry Potter and get that full experience? Well,
was there a Harry Potter? Was there a tease like halfway through his review that this is the big finale? He's going to come back and absolutely destroy Harry Potter.
This person's written it like it's a YouTube video. There was one I was going to include in this episode, but I didn't because it legitimately sounded like a year five essay. Legitimately, the last paragraph started with "in conclusion."
Oh my god! I was just like,
so anyway, I digress. This is not me. This is the person writing the review. The Harry Potter Castle area is beyond overcrowded, and we left within 15 minutes of getting to the castle because it was just outrageous. No crowd control, people just there for photo ops because the looks on people's faces are not looks of enjoyment or fulfillment until they get that sweet IG photo. And then it's back to drudging along. But go ahead, as you shuffle along, dart between people, bump into phone zombies, and ride the artificial motion ride so you can throw up before you walk 3 miles back to the car. And if you do get motion sickness, you can't even get the Hogwarts train back to the main Universal Park because it doesn't have real windows and it's only screens all around you in the enclosed train car the whole way. Why? My lingering thought when we left was, why is this still here in its current form it's in? Hard pass for the future. We'll likely never go back in my lifetime. Major waste of time and money. Now, I just want to ask a question. Does this person know what a theme park is?
He just wants to go in, look at dinosaur eggs and walk 5 steps back to his car.
They have that. It's called the Jurassic World Experience. Yeah. It's currently on in Sydney. You can go. You can look at eggs and do science stuff. You don't have to go to an entire park. But I've never heard someone complain about, oh, there was too much to do and I didn't want to do it. So I just decided not to and I wish it didn't exist.
I do love how these opening sentences, it should just be a Jurassic Park / Marvel mashup and then be done. And then he goes on to say the only thing he says about Marvel is there's 20 stores that all sell the same thing. That's it.
Yeah.
So he wants the 20 stores that all sell the same thing, end the dinosaur experience, and that's it. That's the whole theme park.
I don't know if this is a bit. Like, do you think he just walked into the park and he's like walking through port of entry and he's just like, oh, what the hell is it? I'm trying not to throw up.
Where's the dinosaur eggs?
What is that? Is that Poseidon's giant foot? Ew. It keeps on walking, like running, just gets to the dinosaurs like, this is what I came here for. I don't get it. I don't get this review. Most of them I can stand behind because I'm like, yeah, you know, I've been in that situation. But I've never gone to a park before and been like, oh, Main Street USA, redundant. I don't like Frontierland. Redundant. Just get rid of it. Just give me Space Mountain. Let me pay $180 to walk into Space Mountain, do that ride and then leave.
And I don't want to walk 3 miles back to my car. I want my car to be waiting for me just outside Space Mountain.
Could you imagine going to a theme park and walking? That'd be the worst.
This guy's surname is Wright, but I think we need to switch that around to be wrong.
Oh, got them. Are they going to be able to come back from this? I don't think so.
They're going to be crying in their 20 Marvel stores with the same. But what are we giving this guy out of 5? I think this guy is a 5.
This is a 5. This is a solid 5.
Puffin dad, if I've ever seen it.
This is the written form of punching a child.
I think we've written scripts that are shorter than this. This would have taken him at least an hour to write, which says it all.
Secret third host of Review Time. Shall we move to another park now?
Yeah, let's go to another part of the world.
Yeah. Oh, should we go to another Universal Studios park?
Oh, while we're here,
different part of the world? Yeah, so I wanted to look up what reviews were like for Universal Studios Singapore. Because this was a rather divisive park for us. There were things where it's like, I can definitely see some valid points why a person wouldn't like this park.
And this park has 4.6, which I feel, like on Google reviews, which I feel is actually relatively high. I would have expected it to be lower, especially when you compare it to Islands of Adventure at a 4.7.
It is an absurdly popular park, and I think it's because it was started in a time where Singapore wasn't like king hotness, and now Singapore is like, that's the place where you go if you're from somewhere like Australia or wherever, and it's like, I just want an easy Southeast Asian holiday. It's kind of become like the upper class version of Bali, which was previously Hong Kong, but then Hong Kong kind of had all those problems. So now it's Singapore.
Yeah.
And so I think it just wasn't quite prepared to be this popular.
Yeah.
Because
it was packed
for example,
when we were there, and it was like a Monday.
Islands of Adventure has 92,000 reviews. And when did Islands of Adventure open? The early 2000s, late 90s?
Late 90s, yeah.
Whereas Universal Studios Singapore has 94,000 reviews and opened
Insane.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like 2010,
12,
I think.
10 or 12, yeah. 2010, 2012, something
yeah,
like
around
that.
Around them. Early 2010s.
Yeah. It's way, like, at least more than a decade newer than Islands.
If you look at the graph as well, overwhelmingly, people rate this park 5 or 4 stars.
Yeah.
It's not that thing where it's like heaps of 5 stars and then like a massive amount of ones. It's just 5 or 4 stars and then a lot of low ones. But I did find some and I want to go through them because a lot of them are mostly just about people complaining, getting what they want, and then being upset that they got the thing that they want.
Oh, yeah.
And there's also one where it has nothing to do with the park. It has to do with their bank. But they gave the park a 1-star review.
Oh, that happens so, all the time. And it's like, no, how is this the park's fault?
My favorite is how many were like, bad reception at this park, 1 star. It's like, what, you think it's run by like Singapore Telecom?
Anyway? Yeah.
I get, well, nowadays you need to use your phone so much, so I get it. But it's not exactly the park's fault. But I digress. So this is one of the ones that came from Google. It's from 4 months ago, and I'll start now. Waste of time. We waited for 40 minutes for a 5-minute Jurassic ride. When our turn came, they announced that due to technical reasons, the ride is postponed. You may wait in queue or leave the queue voluntarily. After 20 minutes, we have to leave as we don't want to miss other rides. We paid for locker also. We asked the security person that since we already waited for 40 minutes, please allow us from express entry next time. When we came back, the security person changed and he hasn't allowed and said since you voluntarily left, you have to come through the normal queue, which is again 40 minutes long. We tried explaining that it was not our fault as your ride went into technical problems. Also that we are with kids and can't go for 40 minutes again standing. But they didn't listen. He asked to check the guest services, which is 20 minutes from here at the entrance. Frustrated, but I went there. The lady was kind and gave me 4 express pass. But now I already wasted 40 minutes. Anyway, I did ride of 5 minutes and wasted 80 minutes. Almost similar story for all other rides. So did this person spend like going a little wild goose chase on every attraction? I strongly recommend to not go to Universal Studios as it's a total waste. You will waste your money as well as time. Mummy rides we can't do as there were height restrictions for our kids. And even though I got Express Pass, for free I might add, few rides are not allowing express entry. They close all rides at 4:30, even though the timing is 5 p.m. And they left one picture, which is a picture of a closed locker.
The picture's an interesting choice. Also, this is the greatest trade-off in history. Having to only wait 40 minutes and getting 4 express passes.
Yeah, do they know how much express pass is at this park?
My goodness.
It's probably like $60 Australian to get into this park or like around...
Maybe
80
I think it's
or 60
90.
US.
Yeah.
And then Express Pass is 60 US.
Yeah.
Because Universal loves that, where it's just like, take the ticket price, double it. That's Express Pass.
Yeah, pretty much.
So Express Pass is really expensive. We didn't even get it when we went there. But this person got it for free because of something that they voluntarily did. And that's the thing I love. It's like they mention there, you may wait or you will leave. So we left and then we were upset that we were bound to the conditions that we agreed to.
Yeah. And it's always an interesting thing where it's like at what stage, unfortunately, when rides go down, does it become a they should, you know, give you something for waiting? Because I can understand it. I've had it happen where it's like, oh, I waited 2 hours and now they're like, solos. Mm. And when you break down if you break down your hourly to what you're paying to be there, you've paid a lot to stand in line for 2 hours. But if I was disappointed and went to guest relations and they gave me 5 express passes, I would no longer be disappointed.
Yeah. The thing for me, and it happened a lot when I was on my family vacation, is that for some reason, the larger a group you have, you start to get in this mentality that everything will just go perfectly. Mm. And it was something that I had to keep on reminding my family. I'm like, no, you have to account for things going wrong, for like us getting there late, or maybe like things just not going as intended. And it happens all the time at theme parks where people just go in there and they're like, oh, okay, well, we can do Disneyland in 2 days because we just will. We'll have an amazing time. No one else is going at this time. We're going to do no research and we're just going to have the best time and pay $400 and then walk away. Mm. And theme parks just don't work like that anymore. It's not the time these days where you can just walk into a park and it's just everything's going to go your way. Like, if anything, I would say, like, theme parks now are competitive.
Hmm.
You have to, like, you are versing people who have done their research. And it's the thing that we have every time we go to a park and people are like, how are you able to do the things that you do and maximize your time and all that? It's because we spend crazy amounts of time researching, finding out insider tips, looking up different types of attractions and knowing like, okay, well, if this one goes down, how can we maximize it so that when it comes back up, we'll know immediately and we can make best use of that? Like, just those kinds of tips and tricks. And meanwhile, then you have other groups who see a ride for 2 hours and they go, nah, they don't actually mean that it's 2 hours.
I know this trick. This is the biggest trick in the book.
Because this is one of the things that came up for Universal Studios constantly. I didn't include any of them because it's just not worth it. But a lot of them were like, Transformers the Ride had a 2 hour wait. I waited 2 hours and it was a 5 minute ride and I'm disappointed.
Huh?
You got in the line for a 2 hour ride.
And then were disappointed when it's 2 hours.
They gave you the information you needed to make a decision. Yeah.
That's like I picked something up off the shelf that said it was $100. But I know when I get to the front, it's going to scan at $50. Oh, wait, why is it scanning at $100?
Why are they making me buy this for $100? This is the worst. It's like Universal Studios Singapore does have this problem at the moment where the left side of the park is under construction, so most people funnel to the right. And the first major attraction that you're going to come across is Transformers, or I guess you could technically say maybe Elmo, that big Elmo ride. But it's like
Spaghetti
most
Space
people are going
to
hit. Yeah, it's kind of like the first major attraction you hit. The second would be Transformers. You won't know that lights, camera, action is there because it's got the weakest facade ever.
Ah, Steven Spielberg, you deserve better.
But Transformers has this problem where so many people enter the park, see the ride, and just head straight in for some reason.
Mm.
Don't even consider to look up the way. We didn't even ride the ride that day because like we've done Transformers before, but it did stay at a 90-minute wait all day. So
it got higher than that at some points. That was like the lowest wait, which is insane. I don't know. A lot of people like Transformers, but I think it's just a worse version of Spider-Man. I guess.
Well done, Freedom Fighter.
True. He does call me a Freedom Fighter. It's the best ride in the park.
Exactly. How could you say it's wrong?
It is the most universal ride in the park, I guess.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things where a lot of people go to Singapore and they're like, where's Harry Potter? And it's like, who needs Harry Potter when you have Universal Studios Singapore's Transformers? Would you like me to say some more from Singapore?
Yeah.
Should we move on? Because it's like 45 minutes in and we've only talked about Singapore at the moment.
All right, let's jump to Disney. Disney people like Disney. This is a simple one. Comes in from Epcot. I would argue my favorite theme park at the Walt Disney World Resort. On my recent trip, if I could go to one Disney park like now at Walt Disney World, it would probably be Epcot. It's chill. It's got fun rides. What more do you need?
I'm an Epthot for Epcot.
But this one, you might not be. There's been a problem. The title is Family Disaster Occurred, Worst Place. Now take a moment. What could be a family disaster that occurred leading you to call Epcot the worst place and give it a one-star review? Well, someone got divorced there, apparently. It says, family got divorced here. Not the best place on earth. If you want better, go to Universal or SeaWorld. Even Fun Spot is better. What happened at Epcot that led to a divorce that wouldn't have happened at Universal, SeaWorld or Fun Spot? Do they really hate rats? And the husband made them go on Ratatouille and they're with this giant rat? What could it have possibly been?
Nah, honey, I swear, this ride doesn't have any purple dinosaurs.
One little spot.
The ending, as soon as that they hit that final scene where imagination is a blast, that blast was, just a nice embodiment of what was happening to their marriage at that moment, exploding into pieces.
Disintegrated. I do wonder, I've thought about this a lot because it does say it's there was construction and then family got divorced.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's a miscommunication, but I've also heard of these things where it's people will go to Walt Disney World with their family. Maybe they're 18, 19, they're starting to get to their older teens. And then the parents are just hey, how are you enjoying your Disney World vacation? Yeah, Mom and Dad, this is a great time. Oh, that's great. Well, now that you're older and you're out of the house, we're divorcing each other because we actually hate each other. So have a great holiday. I've heard that more than once. So it would not surprise me if this was a case where they're at Epcot, having a good day. They've just finished Guardians of the Galaxy and they get off and they're like, that
mission
was a great
break
ride.
Up, more like.
What'd you think of that ride, Dad? That was so great. I'm leaving your mother.
It's just the way they've worded it too, which I do feel as well. There's sometimes if a marriage is on the rocks, it could be another one of those classic, I know what'll fix it. We'll take the kids to Walt Disney World, not realizing Walt Disney World is arguably one of the most stressful places on earth.
Yeah. My family were thinking of going, and after what I witnessed when we went to New Zealand, it's like, you're not ready for it.
Don't do it.
We got to go through a couple more family trips before we hit Walt Disney World, because if you hit Walt Disney World unprepared, you're going to be 5-star reviewing everyone, just hitting kids.
That we're going to be in a few years' time. We're going to have a whole episode dedicated to your parents' reviews of Walt Disney World theme parks.
I thought you were going to say my parents hitting children, just being like, I'm so angry.
That's a Parks After Dark exclusive coming up.
Have we ever told that story of the dad who was so angry? I think it was when one of your friends was working at Walt Disney World.
Oh, no, that was...
And it was like...
That was my fiance. That's how she knows about... Disney jail, because she had to take the guest to Disney jail.
To Disney jail with
you. I don't
know
if we've told it, but an incident happened in the park for the short form of it, where two families were fighting over a parade spot, and it got to the stage where one of the dads punched the other family's 16-year-old daughter in the face. And then dad ended
that
up in Disney jail.
He was just he was really angry and he was just talking and all that. And the dads were just in each other's faces. And then it was just that thing where it's target acquired.
Yeah,
just
pretty much. It was completely out of the blue. And it's oh, okay. That was the 5-star review, Dad. He was punching kids.
But going on there being Disney jail, not as magical as it could be.
There was incidents that would often happen when you're working and you just would look and it's like life would go in slow-mo and you just had a moment of I'm going to have to step in here. I'm going to have to help out here or something's going to happen. That has happened to my partner. One that happened to me multiple times was watching guests in ECV just going towards the curb, knowing what's about to happen, because those ECVs cannot take a curb, number one, especially at a 45-degree angle, number two. Multiple times did I have to pick guests up off the ground because they thought their ECV was some Tony Hawk-type stunt machine doing kickflips.
They just finish watching the stunt spectacular and they're like, I can do that.
Indiana Jones.
I can do that on my ECV.
Lights, motors, action. What? It's Main Street stunt spectacular time.
That's a new section of Lights, Motor, Action, is they just have the all of the people in ECVs doing that big jump with the fireballs at the end.
That was the finale show. That was what...
Arguably, that would be more exciting.
I liked that show. I think it was underrated.
I liked it, but I think because it has a good finale.
It had, like, there was arguably three good, really good parts hidden in, like, a 40-minute show. But so is Indiana Jones, epic stunt spectacular.
That's true.
Pretty much all stunt shows apart from Waterworld are three exciting things hidden in 30 minutes worth of stuff. And most of it's 25 minutes of talking.
Indiana Jones has this really interesting thing. We should do an episode on it one day. Because I was in that. I was in Indiana Jones.
They don't have. They've never brought that back.
Really?
Yeah.
You got the Star Cruiser. I got the Indiana Jones
That's
experience.
Your gimme. It was on. It was when we were both there together as well.
Mm.
And I had to sit by myself weeping because I lived there for a year and never got to... be the Indiana Jones guy. But I did get to be that guy at Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor. So
that's true. And you've also, pretty much every time we go to Disney, you're also the Rebel Spy.
Rebel Spy, yeah.
I've never been the Rebel Spy.
You got to wear a Star Wars shirt, or the other trick, which has worked multiple times, is be the only white person in the vehicle at a foreign Disney park. I don't want to say that that's the guarantee, but... at Tokyo Disney, I have been the Rebel Spy multiple times.
I think that happened to us. It was when we both went together and you got it again. Yeah. Like, I just always get skipped over. Maybe it's because I'm short, but
you had to sit down very quickly, put your seatbelt on and face forward. If you're like looking down to put your seatbelt in when the photo's taken, they'll never pick you. You had to be facing forward.
Because you can see, can't you? Like, there's a very brief light. Because I remember you saying to me that
there's
just
a point
like,
where
we're
it gets
talking,
taken, yeah.
And you were just like, I'm the Rebel Spy. And it's because a light very briefly like shone on you.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you're not. And then you popped up and I'm like, yeah, you know too much. My secret squirrel business over
secret
here.
Secret squirrel. But let's quickly move on to another. What do we give that? What did we give? I don't know where to give that.
I'm going to give
it the context. It's hard to know.
I'm going to give it a 2.
Yeah. I think if we had the context, it could go either up to a 1 or down to a 5. Hmm. But 2, that's adequate for the amount of information. Just go to Universal or SeaWorld if you don't want to get a divorce. That's what we've learnt today.
It's true. I had my honeymoon at Epcot. I'm lucky. I'm one of the survivors.
Writing a novel about it as we speak. This one comes in Food and Flower Festival Epic Failure. I've been to cheaper amusement parks that give so much more for your $3 signs exclamation mark. This was such a huge letdown. We went with another couple. It was freezing and windy. Okay, that's definitely Disney's fault.
Mm.
So much for being a foodie and looking forward to experiencing the Food and Flower Festival. The food was terrible. There are a few cute character topiaries. Have we paid $150 to walk around a fake world of nothing more than souvenir shops from around the globe with fake facade buildings? What a scam. There was nothing magical or special. Universal was so much better. Because, you know, Universal doesn't have fake facade buildings. Everything at Universal is real. I will never waste my time or $2 signs this time to come back to Epcot or any Disney park. The only good part was the aquarium.
No, they're wrong.
That's like
arguably
one of the weakest
parts. That aquarium is aggressively
mid.
I remember going there.
This is opposite
every time.
Everything she says is bad is good. Everything she says good is bad.
every time I go to the seas, I'm like, oh, yeah, the seas exist. And I look around, I'm like,
oh, yeah, that's why I don't remember the seas.
Because a lot of the, like, aquarium sections is like, and this is the empty tank for the one creature that lives here. And you can scuba dive here yourself for $150.
And you might still not see it. I think this comes up, this food and wine one, there's so many people have complaints about food and wine. I saw one earlier that was like, food and wine expo? More like food and alcohol expo. I counted, and there was 48 beers on offer and only 45 wines. How can you call it the food and wine expo when there's more beer than wine? And it's like, how is that a one-star worthy complaint? It's not called the food and 48 beers, 45 wines, 17 cocktails festival. It's called food and wine. I'm just
imagining, like, at what point do you reckon they're like, now this is a wine festival? Like, do you reckon it's 50 plus? Do you reckon it's like 45? They're like, no.
They also did the classic. I've been coming to Epcot for 20 years, so maybe they did have above 50 in the past, and they didn't drink around the world. They got absolutely blasted around the world, drinking all 50 wines in one day.
My favorite is, and I skipped a lot of these, but it came up constantly, that people are like, I came to Walt Disney World 30 years ago, and this is nothing like what it used to be. And it's like, are you exactly the same as you were 30 years ago? Literally 3 decades? Like, 10 years ago, we didn't even have smartphones.
Yeah.
Of course things have changed.
Different. No, no, no. Will not do. Not acceptable. Things cannot be different.
Oh. Well, shall we, since we're talking about Epcot and weather, we can move over to another Walt Disney World park. I found one for the Magic Kingdom, which is apparently the 30th best thing to do in Orlando. I don't know what number one
is. Yeah, now I need to see what the rest are.
But this one comes from TripAdvisor, and it's from October of 2023. We attended Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. It was very hot. It did not live up to my expectations, and it was very crowded. I unfortunately became very dehydrated, went to first aid station to sit in the air conditioning, and the rest of the lines were ridiculous just to purchase a water. My husband could only stay for about an hour, and then we left. So unfortunately, it was not a happy or an enjoyable evening. I also purchased the photo pass, which we did get to use. 1 star.
But
hot.
Hot.
The title was hot.
It was hot and busy. And I didn't drink water because I forget that I'm at a theme park and drinking soft drink is not the same as drinking water. The amount of guests who would forget. I'm on vacation, so I don't need to drink water. The amount of guests that we would have to help out because of dehydration in the summer. Well, in any time, Florida's humid. You can't drink Coke to replace electrolytes. It doesn't work that way.
It's a bizarre thing where it's like Florida is hot. Florida has very aggressive weather. And so is Australia. Australia is very hot and has very aggressive weather. And we are taught these things from a young age where it's like when it's hot, you drink water, you wear sunscreen, you do all this stuff to prevent yourself, from dying from the giant ball of radiation that does not care about your life. And then people go to places like Walt Disney World, and exactly as you were saying, it's like, oh, I'm on holidays. I don't need to worry about my health. And then they just, the sheer amounts of times that you would go to the resorts and people would like come out of the heat and they would literally be like puffing like a dog, like, and then walk over to the unlimited drinks thing in the resorts where you get those cups that have like the QR code thing on the bottom. And then they would like slam root beer or Coke or Sprite or something and then like chug the whole thing.
And they do that.
And I would feel sick.
After they had it and you'd be like, whoa.
I got one of those because like when you're in, Rome, you drink that corn syrup
or whatever it is.
And so, like, things like root beer just aren't a thing in Australia, as well as a lot of our soft drink is quite mid because we, like, get the syrup and then we make it here.
Yeah.
So, like, to get the authentic stuff with
we
that
corn
syrup.
We don't have the corn syrup.
Syrup
either, yeah. That's a big thing.
No. So the stuff that's going to kill me,
dang,
it's really good. But I knew it's like, okay, I'm going to have to slam two waters, like two full things of waters, and then have some root beer. And I would usually have it like before bed. It was almost like a nightcap. But it's just the people who like were fueled by soft drink.
The classic like, trick where to be like, I'm going to stand at the refill station. I can get a refill every 3 minutes or whatever it is. I'm going to stand here. I'm going to chug my first drink in 3 minutes and then get another one to refill to walk back to the room.
Yeah. I did enjoy that. I don't know if that still exists anymore. Was it there when you were there?
Yeah, we got one when we were stuck in the Contemporary for the few days during the hurricane. And I think I may have beat the buffet for the amount of Coke that I drank because it was that thing where I was like, well, I got nothing else to do. Guess I'll go get another cup of Coke.
That's when you go to the little shop and you get like some rums. You know, they have the rums.
Oh, yeah, that little yeah. But they had like food and all the food and alcohol was discounted for guests staying on site. So we just went to the bars instead.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd do that.
Yeah.
Do you know at Hong Kong Disneyland, there's like a lake. It's called Inspiration Lake. I don't know why it exists. It's just like this big lake.
Seems like one of those. You have to have public areas if you're building a private theme park.
And they were like, okay. And so, like, just down from Hong Kong Disneyland, probably like a 10-minute walk, is a 7-Eleven that sells, like, half a litre cans of 6% beer.
Oh, well, I didn't know that, but I know what I'm doing next. I'm going to Hong Kong Disneyland. Oh, which I think we'll wrap it up with one last final one, just because I think this one's funny. We've talked about Disney not being able to control the weather, but... That's not the only thing people complain about. There are bugs everywhere. You'd think a huge company like Disney could figure out a way to stop so many bugs. We're in the Asian part, and one pretzel stand was swarmed with flies and bugs. One star.
This is an animal kingdom, and it's like, there's animals in this animal kingdom.
I thought they were going to say, we went inside this tree and these bugs stuck its spike up my bum and then another one came from the roof. It's like, yeah, that's the attraction. But no, they were talking about real bugs. I thought this was going to be some ploy on how terrifying it's tough to be a bug is, which it is. But no, they just wish Disney could figure out a way to not have bugs.
Some people can't deal with bugs, and I get it. And it's like around Florida, you just, and it happens in Australia as well. You know where you just get those swarms of like really small like bugs? It's usually when you're on the bike or like you're jogging or something, and then they just slam
like
you in the face.
Like a cloud of bugs somehow.
It happened in Florida all the time as well. There would just be like heaps of bugs. And it's like, honey, look. Florida's a swamp.
Yeah.
Like, we're Walt Disney World is
there's a reason it's
swamp.
Because it was cheap.
Have you ever looked at, like, anything outside of the parks? It's just swamp.
Yeah, don't look. Don't go there. There's nothing
go
for you.
Go to New Orleans Square, the resort, not the place. I want to go to New Orleans eventually.
Port Orleans?
But, like, Port Orleans, that's the one.
New Orleans Square, the resort. Close. I knew what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the one that has... It's themed to plantations.
No, only one half of it is. That's fine.
Oh, okay. That's all right.
Yeah.
Has anyone mentioned this before? I'm actually thinking about it now.
Well, isn't that like those type of houses do still exist in New Orleans, right? Because technically the Haunted Mansion is set in one in New Orleans Square as well.
Yeah, they do. The reason why they existed. It's just, you know, it's a bit spicy to pay $400 a night to stay in a simulated environment of a plantation home.
Yeah, do you reckon there was, you know, there back in the talk of like the there was a group of staff who had been essentially employed to see if anything was less than PC in the Disney
parks. The Spicy Squad.
Yeah, the Spicy Squad, which I guarantee there would be a monstrous list of things where people are like, no, no, just don't think too hard about that, please.
No, no, no. You can't say that people have crap imagination.
Yeah.
That's a niche reference to an attraction from times gone by. If you didn't know, the original version of Journey into Your Imagination, after they changed it because Kodak was like, no, our ride is too long. Short rides?
No, it was Disney who was like, 10 years, chop, 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 no, chop. And then they were like, we can't afford a big ride. Big rides are boring and long, so short ride it is.
Yeah, it was that thing where it's like, they asked Kodak for more money, and Kodak went, have you guys seen these new things called digital cameras? They're right
in
our ass.
Baby.
Also, fun fact, Kodak invented the first digital camera, and they did that classic thing where they're like, no one wants this.
This is
the things
dumb.
You learn on the theme podcast. The owner of Segway died on a Segway. Kodak.
Oh, what's that? I've never heard that story. You should tell it sometime.
Do I have a Segway for you? We've got heaps of one-star reviews. If you enjoyed this, look, I'm going to be honest with our audience. This feels like the biggest cop-out of a podcast.
We're just roasting people for having different opinions to us.
Well, look at these idiots not enjoying things. Yeah, we have a whole channel dedicated to being like, here's our eloquent 15-minute episode on why we don't enjoy this thing. Someone comes on the TripAdvisor and says, it was hot. And we're like, oh, look at those idiots.
Going to be eloquent with your criticisms.
But if you enjoy this, which I hope you do, let us know. But yeah. I think
if you want to hear another really one, we've got more than enough. Or if you've seen a really funny one-star review, shoot it through.
We love the ones where it has nothing to do with the park. My favorite is when they, like, for some reason, leave a review of somewhere like the Magic Kingdom, and then they're like, I went to this park, and my card kept getting declined. So I called up my bank, and they said, sorry, you're overseas. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. So then I tried calling them again, and then my phone was declined because I was overseas. And it's like, and then it rained.
Yeah.
What does it have to do with this?
I saw one for Magic Kingdom that was like, I had an amazing day, but when I got back to my car, it didn't start. 1 star. It's like, is that Disney's fault?
But Michael, Bob Iger walking around with a big ray gun, shooting it from the sky. He's like, yeah, this will show those idiots for coming to my park. I just want to end on one. And I found this one really funny because I was like, I want to look up reviews of the Star Cruiser because I've been on a bit of a Star Cruiser binge recently. I didn't get to go on it, but I've been consuming a lot of Star Cruiser content. I listened to Podcast The Ride with Andrew Feldman. They talk about the Star Cruiser. Andrew Feldman played... Do you know Andrew Feldman?
Yeah.
He played Dear Evan Hansen. He was in that movie that came out recently with Jennifer Lawrence, No Hard Feelings. And he's a huge theme park fan. He's actually hit us up like once. I think it was like, I like Review Time's early stuff, which was about history. And modern stuff, too avant-garde for him. park tours? What the hell's that?
What's a theme park?
But so I've been looking up a lot of stuff about the Star Cruiser, and I found one, which I just want to give you some context. Go into this thinking that this person didn't actually know what the Star Cruiser was and booked it as a hotel.
Yeah.
And then was like, wait a minute, this is a very strange hotel. So this one is from August of 2022. It was a total ripoff. it's better to stay at a motel. Very limited food, both quantity and variety, was more like we're in a jail. Very little entertainment. The second half day was at Disney Hollywood Studios, so it's actually just 1.5 days of jail food and no entertainment prison. Now, I'm a Disney fan, and I know Disney is expensive, but they normally give you something for your money. Like Space 220 was expensive, but worth the money. This Galactic Star Cruiser cruise is a robbery. You're paying $5,000 for a family of four for nothing. I think Consumer Association should have really looked into this. It's okay if you want to give space-looking food, but you can give a variety for the price we paid. The lightsaber training is for 5 to 6-year-olds. So childish we didn't even enjoy. Please don't even think of going. In fact, the Disney committee needs to look into this scam cruiser. Nothing like a Disney organization.
Does he think somebody like is running this on site under the table and Disney doesn't know about it? Disney really needs to look into this operating scam cruisers on their property.
I want to speak to your manager, buddy. Bob Chapek comes out like, yes, I'm the one who've greenlit this. And it's like, where do you get off?
This is a scam cruiser.
My other favorite one, I'll just quickly talk on it. There were only 2 1-star reviews of the Star Cruiser, and the other one was because somebody wanted a cheeseburger and fries and didn't get it.
Huh?
Their comment was, first you have to use your phones as a data pad, and a lot of the story takes place in the app. Yeah, fine. Yeah. That's a valid criticism. Second, the food isn't that good and there are no menus. So if you don't like dinner and want a burger and fries, you can forget about it. Plus, if in the morning there is a buffet, but if you want an omelet, then you're out of luck.
What? They did have eggs available, but it's all like meant to be in-universe food.
Nah, man. Bantha Burger with Chapek toes.
The cast member is trained too much. They actually did have burgers available, but he didn't ask for a Bantha Burger. They're sorry, sir. We got none of that here.
Cheese? Huh? Burger? What? What are you talking about?
What language is this?
I don't know why, but I was just, one of my favorite things is hearing stories from the Star Cruiser where it's like brief moments where in-universe, the actors try to convey to the other people where it's like, I really appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah.
And there was one where it's like Andrew Feldman had an interaction with one of the performers and the started improvising, doing all of this stuff. And it was somebody who was playing Wraith Cole.
Icon.
And they come up afterwards and wrap their arm around, get in their ear. And it's like, look, I really appreciate what you're doing for me. And then just left.
Wraith is a king. He, I don't know if it was the same performer, but it may have been because he was, our Wraith was also very hands on, he'd be give you massages, he'd put his arm around you and talk to you like that. And it's like, you are the king. I'm glad that we followed king. Your story mostly.
Apparently he still works at Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, which is cool. If the Wraith call I had is the guy looks a little bit like Joe Road. So we call him Faux Roadie. So if you've seen a picture of Wraith Cole from Star Cruise and it looks like Joe Road, well, that's the guy that I had and he was really nice and really cool.
I've seen two, and this is no offense to Faux Roadie, but there's Wraith Cole and then there's the hot one.
The young one. He looks too young for the character though, I think. But it could
looks too hot.
He could have played it a different way, I guess.
He looks like Gaston.
Yeah, maybe he is. I think there is. It's that thing where our Wraith that we've had, I've only ever seen him play Wraith and the Imperial guy. But the guy you're talking of may be essentially a swing for every. Because there is the hotter in inverted comma roles where they're young, hot dudes, like the lightsaber guy and the engineer guy.
There were some people in all of the videos I've seen where it's like it was always played by the same person every time, like the young person playing the, like, not Jedi. There's no Jedis anymore. No, that person.
The one we had, I guarantee you, was friends with Rey because she looked more like Rey than Rey did on our group.
Wait, what?
The trainer, the Jedi trainer, Sasha. She looked more like Rey than the Rey we actually had on our cruise.
Oh, yeah, like Rey Skywalker. Yeah. Somehow Palpatine's dead. Somehow our podcast has come to a conclusion. Before we go on a tangent, I do just want to propose an episode. Can we have one where it's Dom talks about the Star Cruiser, but it's just me talking about from my outsider experience?
And it's just me correcting you.
I'm like, oh, this looks really cool. And you're like,
that was the worst part.
There were also things like, I've seen stuff where it's like, oh yeah, I did the Star Cruiser 4 times, never encountered that.
Yeah.
Like there's one where it's like the rocks in the outdoor simulator. Yeah. And it's like they
climate
pull the rocks.
Simulator, get it right. Oh, very sorry. Important. The smoking area, also, I think, but I don't think it actually was, but I think it was designed as a smoking area.
Yeah, I think it was also designed as that's where the dad who works in business goes
and takes his call. Yeah,
and it's like that's where they go to talk about business whilst they wear their Grand Floridian polo and walk around in their Skeeches. Ooh. Or was the other one new something? The shoes,
New Balance.
New Balance. Yeah. Dad's wearing New Balance shoes with high rise white socks.
Yeah. And he makes more money on that one call than we'll see in our entire lives.
I've been thinking about the Star Cruiser a lot. We should wrap up this episode. Sorry, it's going to be me just talking about the Star Cruiser, but I've been thinking about all of
the
these roles.
The post-show is just kicked in and now it's a Star Cruiser episode.
I mean, think about all of these roles that I would play. It's like, what if you went in and it's like, oh, yeah. I am a performer more famous than Gaia, but I'm also incognito, so don't tell anyone. Like, just try and do things.
Back when we were going to try and write it off one day, if we ever got around it, were we going to be like mechanics, speeder mechanics or something?
I thought we were going to be producers.
Yeah.
Our whole thing was like, we would basically be like these, essentially like the producers from the musical. So we're going in there and we're trying to find stars, like people in like ghost signs. Hey, if you ever want a role, I'm working on this film. And but we do it on the sly and...
By the end, everyone is part of our film.
Anyway, that'll be the episode when I get back. We'll talk about Star Cruiser experience through other people experiencing the Star Cruiser experience.
That's it. But we started the episode in the best way. We go finish it in the best way, wishing Michael DeMann Eisner a happy 82nd birthday by a week and a day.
That's his middle name. We're not even making that up. It's Michael DeMann.
Yeah. And if you don't believe us, look it up. You're wrong. I'm right. I've never been more sure of anything in my life.
Anyway, if you want to get into contact with us, you can find me on my emails. No one sends me emails. So just send me one just saying, hey, I've sent you an email at dom@reviewtime.com.
And sometimes I get put into spam, but I do try to remember to check my spam. Email me at luke@reviewtime.com.
I got one from Getty Images. Saying that, hey, we're your new account manager. If you need some discounts on images, let us know.
We've never used Getty Images.
I've never once used Getty Images in my life. Like, I even went through and I'm like, what are you talking about? It was on my Review Time account, so send me emails so I can see it. Also, we just got a new patron, Dylan H.
Oh,
so literally during this episode, 10 minutes ago.
Hey,
so,
Dylan. We'll give you a proper shout out next episode if you don't make it this far, because Dom's been talking about the Star Cruiser for 20 minutes.
I'm going to end it, and then I'm just going to keep talking.
Bye.
Wait, no, what's your email?
I already said it.
Did you say both of our emails?
No, I'm not the host.
Oh.
I'm Luke at ReviewTime.com again.
And you can email us both at domlovesthestarcruiser@gmail.com. Bye! So, the Star Cruiser, for those who want to stick around for Dom's post show.
No, this is Star Cruiser post show.
Bye.